Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, American Right to Life just got a call from a reporter with Fox News saying that they're interested in the latest ad, the pro-life ad running for the primary in South Carolina statewide on the Fox News channel. And so we'll let you know, of course, if that leads to a news report. Hopefully it will. American Right to Life has been in the news pretty much everywhere this past week in U.S. News and World Report, three-page article about pro-life strategy, fighting for personhood, and especially no exceptions. In a moment, we'll go to an interview with the keynote speaker of the March for Life this Saturday in Colorado on the steps of the Capitol, downtown Denver. But just real quickly, the amount of media that has been coming out about the personhood effort from Time Magazine, as you recall, that helped launch American Right to Life as a new national no exceptions pro-life organization. And yesterday I had the opportunity to go on Fox Channel 1, Fox 31 TV in Denver, their Colorado affiliate, to talk about immorality in the culture. Lord willing, we'll discuss that tomorrow. And well, there's just a bit too much to talk about because I want to get to the guest for today's show. This is pretty exciting because we are going to have a speaker for the March for Life who takes the theology and the theory and brings it home. Let's go to Julie Makama. Judy, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Thank you very much.
Julie, you and I have never spoken before, but can you tell us, my audience is a strong, for the most part, Christian pro-life audience, and I don't think they know much about you. Could you tell us about yourself?
Absolutely. I think probably like a lot of your listeners, I got involved in the pro-life movement because of something personal. As an adopted child, I was very grateful for the gift of life that I have been given, and I wanted to encourage other women to choose adoption, a positive choice. I believe that God gives each of us a special purpose, and I wanted to be involved in that. But I think like most people, I never thought about the so-called hard cases, pregnancies from rape and incest. But there would come a point in my life where I'd come face-to-face and have to realize, what do I really feel about those situations?
Hey, Julie, I appreciate you saying the so-called hard cases, because when we realize that these are children, and if a child's father's a criminal, it's an open and shut case. You don't kill the child because the father's a criminal. So some people call these the hard cases, but it's not hard, because if a crime has been committed against a woman, and such an egregious and wicked crime as a sexual assault and rape, that's horrendous. But then to kill that baby makes things worse. And
well, I have certainly heard all of those arguments about women who were pregnant from rape and incest, how desperately they needed abortion because it would put their lives back together, it'd be a benefit for them. And how could we force a woman to carry a rapist child, how inhumane that is. And that women could not stand emotionally the psychological stress of such a pregnancy. You know, for children, I think we've all heard that, you know, these children won't be normal. They'll have psychological, physical problems. They'll never be successful. They'll always be a drain on society. They'll be criminals like their fathers. You know, but I knew in my heart that God had a purpose for life, but I struggled in my mind. But like you said, there came a point in my life when it wasn't about the rhetoric any longer, but this was truly a debate about my life, and recognizing that, it changes your perspective dramatically.
Well, could you tell me how is that issue? It's just theoretical, right? Julie,
well,
how is that about your life?
In my early pro-life involvement, it was very theoretical. I was adopted in California and thought about my birth parents, but really never considered searching until after I got married. And with the support of my mom and dad, who were very scared about what I might find and who I might find. Mm-hmm. But they said, you know, if you want to do this, we will stand with you. And so I began a four-year search for my birth mother and was at home one day with my brand-new six-month-old daughter, and the telephone rang. I had written a letter just a couple months previous, and this on the other end of this phone line was my birth mother.
Oh my.
Calling me on a phone number I had written in the letter. And it was an unreal moment, and we made our first plans to get a look at each other just a few weeks later.
Wow. Now, Julie, where did you live? What part of the country, and where did she live?
I was in Michigan, like I am now, and my birth mother was in California, where I grew up.
Wow.
And we made the plan to meet in Washington, D.C. They were going to be there, and that sounded a lot closer than California.
Mm-hmm.
So we made a plan to get a look at each other, and we had adjoining hotel rooms there in Washington, and I remember standing at the door of our room and just waiting for her to finally call over and say they were ready for us to meet. My husband stood behind me holding my daughter, and my birth mother opened the door, and my husband kind of nudged me to move, and we hugged and we cried.
Wow.
Overwhelmed by how much we look alike, and just recognizing how wonderful God is to have given us this opportunity to meet and reunite.
Julie, I first heard about you from Leslie Hanks, who's the vice president of Colorado Right to Life, and she said she saw in person or a photo, you and your mom, and said two of the most beautiful women who their very lives tell the truth that it's wrong to kill an innocent child, even conceived in a case of a crime like rape. But so you and your mom, you guys look alike, huh?
Yes, we do. And thank you for the beautiful comment.
Oh, yeah.
I tell my birth mother that keep going because I'm going to look just like you, so hang in there.
Yeah, that's right.
But I had no idea. I had brought a lot of the paperwork with me and had a lot of questions, I think, like most adopted children, you know, why and what were the circumstances. And mm-hmm. my birth mother struggled very much with whether or not she would tell me the truth. And her husband and she decided, you know, we have to be honest. And that is what they decided to do. My birth mother told me of how at 18 years old she was invited to a co-worker's home. Everyone was going to be there, and he would be gone on the road traveling out the next day, but she didn't think anything of it. And she arrived at his home, and some time passed, and no one else arrived. She began to get very worried. He was 20 years older than her, and he ended up raping her.
Oh, no.
And she escaped from his home and swore on her way as she stopped at a gas station to get cleaned up and dressed that she would never tell anybody this happened to her because it was her fault. She shouldn't have been there. She should have known something like this would happen. And she pledged to herself that she would never divulge what happened to her. But it was more difficult than that because many weeks later she went to the doctor, couldn't get over the flu she had, and he would tell her, congratulations, you're pregnant.
Oh, my.
And she would say, you know, it was unreal. I remember the wallpaper behind him when he said that. Oh. And my birth mother told me as we met that first night, looking at me, she said, had there been a Planned Parenthood, some clinic that her friends could have taken her to, thinking they were doing the noble thing to help her out, had that been available to her, I would probably not be here today.
Oh, my.
And for me, certainly, it changed my perspective on life, and suddenly it wasn't about all the things I had heard about rape and incest pregnancies, but it was, what is our lives about? What is our reunion about? What have we really experienced? And for us, our relationship and experience have been totally contrary to all of the ideas that are commonly held about rape and incest pregnancies. In every instance, our experience has been contrary. For my birth mother, she said, there was a benefit for me giving you life. No doubt, it was a sacrifice. But I knew that I was a victim of assault, but I wanted to do something good. I wanted to give back. I didn't want to punish someone else because I knew you were my child who was an innocent victim of what happened, just as I was.
Oh, my.
And not just for my birth mother and I, but we surveyed the largest number of women and children who've ever responded, the all women pregnant from rape and incest, and we asked them, you know, if you could go back. These were all women, 133 women who carried their children to term.
Oh, my.
We asked them, if you could go back and make the decision again whether to carry your child to term or to have an abortion, what would you do? Every single woman said, I would give life again because of the benefit to me personally. And many of these women, they aren't raising their child, although nearly 70% of these women were raising their children.
Oh, my.
But they recognized the benefit for themselves to make a positive decision that helped in their healing and their wholeness. We talked to women who had abortions, and we said, tell
us. Julie, let me just say that what you've just shared is stunning. I've been in the pro-life battle for 20 years, and trying to protect these kids, even the ones with criminals as dads. But this is a chilling and life-altering account to bring it home that this is not just theoretical. It's not just theology. These are real people, and these moms would have been injured by the lie that you're better off if you kill the baby. So to have 133 out of 133 women say, I would not have had an abortion. Women who've been raped and carried the baby to term. Wow. Praise God that you guys are out there sharing this and collecting the information to start with. So how about you were about to say women who've had an abortion.
Well, and women who had abortion sadly told us very tragically how the abortion compounded the problems that they faced. They told us things that were astonishing to me, that it was easier to recover from their assault than to recover from the fact that they took the life of the child, someone who was an innocent victim as they were. They responded as a victim by committing an even greater crime. These women said, we felt violated and dirty and angry and depressed from our assault. But you have to recognize that those were causes from an outside source. But they said much more painful and difficult to deal with was the fact that the abortion, the effects of the abortion, the depression, the anger, the guilt, the violation, all of that was a result of their own choice. That was a cause from internally.
Oh, my.
They said, I was a victim, but I became a perpetrator.
Julie Makema is our guest speaker at the March for Life this Saturday, flying into Colorado from Michigan, Saturday, January 19th at 1:30. That's just in, 4 days from now, on the west steps of the state capitol, downtown Denver. So please come out. Every life worthy of protection, no exceptions, no child should be abandoned because his father is a criminal. And so, Julie, it sounds like your mom is in agreement with you on this greater moral issue.
Absolutely, she is. And she has lived through it, and we are a testament to the greatness of God to bring something wonderful out of something so tragic and horrible that was meant for evil. And, you know, that's the business that God is in. I knew that God has a purpose and plan for every life, but struggled in my mind with all of these misconceptions. But the reality is that God said it, and He enabled the way for women to choose life and to benefit from it.
Now, Julie, this might be something that's easy for me to say as a man, and some people might recoil from this thought, but when a woman is the victim of such a horrendous crime, when she's raped and a child is conceived as a result of that rape, that child is still her child. In fact, it is as much her child as any child ever can be. It is her child.
Absolutely. There's no question about that. But where we have struggled as a society is that we have always been programmed to relate the child to the rapist. And there's a very clear reason for that, is because this all goes back to Jane Roe, Norma McCorvey, who lied saying she was gang raped and who ended up starting the Roe v. Wade decision. And we've always been taught to think of the child as a rapist child because the pro-abortion movement knew that people would be more likely to approve of aborting this child if they could tie it to the biological father.
In
you
fact,
never hear anyone talking about the innocent child. It's always the rapist child.
Right. In fact, Julie Makema, it is abortion for rape and incest that is the sacred ground of Planned Parenthood in the abortion industry. That's how they first opened the door to where now they've killed about 50 million children in America alone with surgical abortion. It was abortion for rape and incest, abortion for rape and incest. Now you come forward 40 years later, because it was 40 years ago in Colorado, we had the first law in the nation, abortion for rape and incest and health, so on. And so 40 years later, it's the pro-lifers who are chanting the mantra, abortion for rape and incest. That's the position of many pro-life leaders and many pro-life organizations, and there's something wrong with that. For one, you would have been killed by that principle, by that position. And two, you cannot, we don't have the authority to abandon those kids.
Mm-hmm. Any exception allowing abortion for rape and incest can be construed to allow abortion on demand. There is no way, let alone the fact that a law recognizing the right to life of all persons that then makes an allowance for some abortions for children like myself whose fathers were criminals, you know, I think people should recognize that no one's really safe under such a law.
Well, right, because the government, the judges, even the supposed conservative, strict constructionist, Republican, even pro-life judges who are called upon to uphold these laws that say, well, you can kill the baby if his father's a criminal, those judges become conditioned to believe that the government could decide when to kill a baby for whatever reason the government wants to decide.
That's right. And if my life is up for auction, so is everyone else's. Either
right.
We all have protection or we don't.
That's absolutely right. Now, your mom has spoken, and she's spoken publicly about this?
Oh, yes. She was a Christian author and speaker when I met her.
Oh, my.
And she wrote a book about our reunion.
And you became a believer being raised by another family.
I did. My birth mother had prayed that I would go to a Christian home, and I was raised in a Christian home, going to church and really discovering and believing the purpose for my life, not ever thinking it would quite go like this. But, yes, so we were not only reunited in person, but also in a common faith and understanding in the greater things of life.
Now, Julie Makema will be speaking this Saturday at Colorado Right to Life's March for Life at 1:30 in the afternoon, this Saturday, January 19th, at the Colorado State Capitol. Please come out. Not only will it encourage Julie to keep fighting and moving forward, but all of Colorado Right to Life and the directors, the officers, the volunteers, we all need to encourage one another to make a renewed commitment to fight to win this battle against the killing of the innocent. So it is so important, if at all you can. My wife Cheryl will be there. We'll have our youngest kids. Between us, Julie, Cheryl and I have 7 boys. And so our 3 youngest ones live at home. So we'll be bringing our 3 young kids. And there will be hundreds of people there. And please, if you can make it, in fact, grab a friend or two, or grab a neighbor, call up somebody from your church and say, come on, I want you to meet Julie Saturday at 1:30 at the Capitol. Julie, Leslie Hanks, again, the vice president of Colorado Right to Life, told me that you spoke up at a pro-life meeting that she had attended because they were talking about exceptions, how, you know, it's absolutely fine for pro-life leaders to support exceptions, saying, well, you can't kill the baby unless his father's a criminal.
Well, it's unfortunate that we are our own worst enemy oftentimes. And I think that the exceptions are a result of years of allowing people who really don't believe the principles of a pro-life position. We've allowed them to be our standard bearers. And that's why it's the pro-life movement and the stance has been eroded over so many years. And I believe that they don't really understand the damage of a rape and incest exception. They know that it violates the whole premise of a law that protects children from fertilization, but yet they think that there's a rationale to save as many as possible. But what they don't realize is that in the end, we are compromising any chance of gaining a protection of life in the future.
Julie, have you heard of American Right to Life?
Yes.
And on their website, AmericanRightToLife.org, they have a section on principles. And that what you are saying is, I mean, you are explaining in human terms the principles of American Right to Life. Are you the secret founder of American Right to Life? Because it's astounding.
No.
We are hearing the exact same message from a completely a new source, from Julie Makema. Am I pronouncing your last name correctly?
Yes.
From Julie Makema. And I am just so thrilled that Colorado Right to Life has found you, Julie, for you to come on in and be the speaker. So how did you arrive at this before you found out that you yourself were a product of a rape? Before you found that out, you said you were struggling, but had you ever come down on the side of saying it's okay to kill the baby if the father's a criminal?
No, I think I avoided really making a decision. I never had to in practical application because it wasn't an issue. Roe v. Wade was still involved, and there was no legal action in our state. So I think, like most pro-lifers, I thought, you know, until we actually have to deal with that, I don't want to explore that possibility. But it was only 3 years from the time I got involved in pro-life to the point in which I found my birth mother. So it was a short period of time. But it certainly changes your perspective to not only have been there and done that, but to understand also the stories and experiences of other women and children. It was phenomenal to hear that our experiences mirrored theirs so similarly.
I've heard a rumor that a pro-life commercial might be made on this topic of no exceptions. Abortion for rape and incest is wrong, and that you might be involved with that. Is that a true rumor?
That's a rumor, yeah.
Because,
yes, I've been involved in this discussion for nearly 15 years, and would welcome any other opportunity to bring it to a wider audience. It's unfortunate that most of my time has been spent trying to convince us.
Our own side.
Yes.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Look at what happened in South Dakota where they had a complete abortion ban they were working on, and President George W. Bush, like you used the word standard bearer, pro-life, Republican, Christian, conservative, he actually opposed the measure. He refused to endorse that effort because he said, that's not my position. I believe in killing some of these kids. And so he's saying, if you won't let me kill these kids over here, then I'd rather you kill all the kids. And that is not a pro-life position.
Well, and I think, again, we go back to, you know, wouldn't it be better if the pro-life movement there would say, you know what, we're going to go back again and we're going to educate people. We're going to share with them the stories of women and children. We're going to tell them the truth. We're going to show them where we've been misled and prove to them the value of life for not only the women involved, but the children, obviously, and to continue to work for legislation that is truly a protection of all persons. That is a much better approach than to have 1 year a bill that protects all unborn children and then another year has an exception, which will be an exception for anyone.
Exactly. And that exception teaches people that there is no right to life from God, because even the Christians are willing to trade it away to get what they want. And that's devastating. Ideas have consequences. And in fact, even Harry Blackmun, when he wrote Roe v. Wade, he said, hey, Texas can't have it both ways. Texas cannot say that the child has a right to life and then also say if the woman is raped, you can kill the child. He said that is a hypocrisy. That's a contradiction. And that shows us the truth that the Texas pro-lifers, they don't believe the baby has a right to life. They don't believe the baby is a person. If they did, they wouldn't kill it. And so, Julie, you state eloquently what we've been trying to explain to people for 17 years on the air. So thank you so very much for joining us. We will see you on Saturday.
Thank you. I'm honored to be with you and looking forward to warmer weather.
Yeah, it's freezing today. I think we have a high of 15. There's too much global warming out here, Julie.
I know it's cold.
Yes. All right. God bless you. Can't wait to see you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. All right. So that's the March for Life this Saturday at 1:30 on the west steps of the Capitol, downtown Denver. Now, if you live in another state, no problem. There's time enough to fly here, right? No, I'm only kidding. There's a March for Life everywhere, all around the country. So get in touch with your local pro-life leaders. If there are none, then become one. Become a pro-life leader, a local pro-life leader, or a national, whatever you have time for. And march. Go to an abortion clinic. Go to the home of a pro-abortion legislator or an abortionist, even better. So this Saturday is a March for Life in Colorado and all around the country. And please do something this week to try to save one child. Please do something this week, because this is the line where Christianity is fighting the culture. It's right here. Maranatha Christian Center, what a wonderful school in Arvada, and KGOV.com.